Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally. Alrighty, so indeed, Randy Zachary here. Natalie Mullinex joining us in Best of Few. And excited again about Realty Universal Radio. Excited about the growing audience that we have. We, enjoying the fact that I think a recent episode we had over like 2,000 listens, which on Blog Talk Radio and terrestrial radio, which is kind of like real radio, I guess, in a way. Regular radio, I guess, would be a better way of saying it, because this obviously is, well, real radio. We are live all over the world. But yeah, even, 2,000 listeners during a day part is a good. So welcome aboard. The number again is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. Tuck that number away, and if you decide to call, you'll be able to do that. And again, our email address, radio@realtyuniversal.com. Again, radio@realtyuniversal.com. If you've got questions for Natalie, and again, today we're going to be talking about short sales and why you really need to get it closed if it's your primary residence, why you need to close by December of this year. There are some significant changes going on, and Natalie's going to be sharing some of those. Then in the second half, as is our custom, we are going to be joined by James Scully, who is a motivational speaker. He is a personal life coach, and is going to be joining us talking again about the value of lifelong change and how to do that, how to navigate that. And that's really what this show is about. Not only, of course, real estate and this first half hour kind of tips in that regard, but also the second half hour, we love to talk about what some call self-improvement. We really, as believers in God, boil it down to it's both. It's working on yourself, working on your mind, but it's also working on my heart and letting God heal the broken places, and quickly letting God do the heavy lifting. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break and be back in just a few. Realty Universal Radio, welcome aboard.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind, knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Yeah, buddy. Wow. Good stuff. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are listening, whether live or archives, Realty Universal Radio, the name of this show. Randy Zachary, my name is Natalie Mullinex, joining us in just a few. And again, the phone number to call is 347-945-5428. Again, 347-945-5428. And our email address, in case you can't call in, is, of course, radio@realtyuniversal.com. That's realtyuniversal.com. And so it looks like there's a little bit of a technical issue that Blog Talk Radio is working on, and so we're going to continue, and hopefully we will be able to connect with Natalie. Looks like we're a bit of a technical issue on the Blog Talk Radio network, and they're working on it as we speak. And yeah, hopefully we'll get that handled. Again, today's topic is short sales, and yeah, I don't know about you. There's a lot of folks in that situation needing to do the short sale, and there are some significant changes coming in next year in 2013. And Natalie is, Lord will, if the Blog Talk Radio folks can fix the issues, going to be on with us and going to be sharing with us some reasons why you need to You need to get that done. If it's your primary residence in a short sale situation, you need to get that done by December of this year. And I think we've got Natalie.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Natalie. Welcome aboard.
Hey. Oh, thank you very much. You know, I'm calling in, and I'm going to say I don't like to, you know, the show must go on, but I guess Blog Talk was having technical problems. So I'm in there at, you know, 10 of 3, well, 9, except wherever anybody is, and it says, no show scheduled for 24 hours, and I'm like, wait a minute. Anyhow, they finally fixed it, so they were pretty fast. So what were you guys doing? I'm supposed to do the first half and talk about short sales, so what were you up to?
I was just introducing that topic, as a matter of fact. And,
good.
Believing that you were going to get on the line, and what I had was that, you know, a lot of folks are in the short sale situation. My wife and I have even considered that because, you know, we're underwater in our mortgage. We owe, you know, more than it's worth. Before it gets too terribly bad, you know, we've considered the short sale thing. And you're saying a lot of change is coming, and it'd be best if you're in that situation to maybe get it handled sooner rather than later, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a few things, and I'm going to kind of talk a little fast and kind of go through, because we do have a guest on the second half, don't we? And we want to make sure that we bring them in on their time, et cetera. So what I was saying is why it's really important to do it now before the end of the year. This is if it's your principal residence. If it's your principal residence, there's a lot of things going on right now, and, of course, I won't have time to go into all of it, but if it's your principal residence, you're not going to have to worry about the 1099 problem issue if you settle close by the end of this year. That's not going to apply to investment properties or other properties. You always want to speak to your accountant and your attorney immediately when you're making your decision on what you're going to do with the short sale. But what's happening right now is President George Bush had put into effect back, I think in 2009, actually it was put into effect in 2007. It was going to expire 2009, and that was extended now until the end of this year, where people that owned the property and lived in it didn't have to worry about the 1099 capital gain tax. Now, what that is for example, a lender, say you owe $500,000, you're only going to be able to sell it for $400,000. The lender's taking a $100,000 hit. They would send you a 1099, and you're supposed to pay taxes on that money. So that's just one item. Now, hopefully they'll extend things or come up with other ways, and you can always talk to your accountant about if you're insolvent, et cetera. People can file bankruptcy. There's many other options that they can do, but you need to go into this prepared. But the reason we're saying if you need to do it and you know you're going to do it and there's no way out of it and you're sure you want to do it and you don't want to keep the property, you want to look at trying to get through this now with this small window. It's a very small window because we're already right now at the end of August, and you still have to, before you can do the short sale, you have to have a buyer. So there isn't much time for that. But I really wanted to also get in and talk about the fact that when somebody goes in and does a short sale, I mean, 9 times out of your 10, aren't you thinking, Randy, basically, okay, I'm out of this. I'm not going to owe anything. I'm done. I can move on with my life. It might ruin my credit for a while, but I can move on, right? That's what I would think most people think when they hear about this. Well, you have to be super-duper-duper careful because a lot of the lenders, now it's been done for years, but typically many of the lenders were letting people out of the deficiency judgment saying, okay, we're done, we're accepting this loan in full, and you can move on. Now what's starting to happen is more and more short sale approvals are coming through without the language to protect the homeowner that states that there definitely will not be a deficiency judgment. So here people may think they're finished, and a couple years later they could get sued for the excess monies they didn't pay. There's different laws. Every state has their own individual laws, so that's why, you know, when we're on here, we're telling tidbits, and but we're giving you food for thought and things to look into. Now, there's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and there's the HOFA program. If somebody's under the HOFA program, they definitely do not have any deficiency judgment. There's certainly certain programs out there that are in place that actually take that out and protect you so that you don't have the deficiency, but not all programs. Even, for example, Fannie Mae, which Fannie and Freddie Mac will do the HAFA. Fannie Mae actually may not do a deficiency judgment, but they could have the right to do it. Many times Fannie Mae's on the first, and you'll have a different lender on the second. If the lender on the second doesn't want to take the short, they can turn around and say you have a deficiency judgment. Some lenders on the seconds are actually starting to tell people they want them to sign promissory notes or notes to owe the money later. So there's a lot of things that you need to be aware of no matter when you do this. We just wanted to mention it. You know, if somebody's out there sitting on the fence and, you know, they're pricing right and they probably could get a buyer in the next couple of weeks, which is not out of the question if you're priced really, you know, as a very good deal. Depending on where you are, again, I don't want somebody to listen to the show going, oh, my gosh, we're in one of the worst markets in the country, and there's no way my place will sell in a couple of weeks. But at the right price, somebody could be, and I just want you to look at this and look at this and take care of yourself. But really, really educate yourself. I've noticed a lot of the sites that are out there to educate you, they may give you a little bit of information. So you want to really make sure that you check everything out legally and get your accountant involved, get your attorney involved. You know, you may not want to file bankruptcy, but you need to know your options. Is this covered if this happens? What if this happens? You know, typically short sales are still going to be better for you than a foreclosure on your credit. And again, with a foreclosure, they can definitely come after you for the deficiency judgment unless you're in a state that doesn't allow that or unless you didn't allow for anything but the property to be the collateral. So you just want to dot your I's and cross your T's. There are coming up with more and more programs right now to do better loan mods than what were around before, reduction and interest reduction programs. There's another program that should be out the beginning of 2013 where they'll actually let you borrow up to $50,000 to pay back the interest in payments, et cetera, et cetera. Before you go and just say, well, that's not a good deal, that's not a good deal, really don't look at the – really crunch your numbers and look at everything before you make a decision. This is definitely not something you want to do haphazardly. Also, I'm seeing more and more lenders – there was a time where you could still get a short sale through when people were still current if they were just underwater and they didn't have enough income, but they were still making their payments and they wanted to get out of it. More lenders are not even touching it until they're two payments behind, but then some could. So, see, there's so many – iffy variables here, and it's really important. Now, we have our affiliate membership, and you can always go through our site also to get referred to agents and brokers that can assist you in the direction and assist you with questions. You definitely need to talk to an attorney or an accountant, but at least these are good questions and good things that come up that you know would ask. You know, we're seeing people, I constantly hear the comments, it's so funny. I saw on the show, there was a show and it's about short sales and they always give money back and they always, you know, give closing costs to the buyer and they do that and that's not the way it is. I think a lot of the shows are just scripted. You know how, you know how the show, radio, TV, I mean, we're doing the real thing when we get into it, but you know how so many things are scripted and they tell you to say this and say that. So just please, don't take anything at face value without digging in and checking into it, and I just cannot tell you how many situations are changing. I'm seeing situations, because we do a lot of short sales, where used to be people were getting through. They were taking – the banks were taking way less money. Their income could be – okay, maybe, you know, now they're actually sticking to higher market values, a lot of the lenders – they're really scrutinizing people. If they don't need to move, they may work it out and say, no, you can afford that payment and you can stay there. You know, some people are moving because of health issues. But so what's happening is they're scrutinizing everything really, really clean scrutiny. And I'm just putting it out there not to have any fear because, you know, you and I are very funny about people not having fear, right, unless it's necessary. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to, you don't run out in front of a car, okay, that there's a certain time you have to be careful. But but we really don't want to put it out there for anybody to be fearful, but you want to be careful because there's so much. The other thing, disclose. I think we're running out of time, Randy. I think I got about 10 minutes on our first half of the show because of technical issues, but that's what we do, and we'll have to. Yeah, you can fix all that. That's what I love about the archives. Yeah. You can fix it, but when we're going live, we can't fix it, and you're just great at filling in, too, with where you need to. And so I'm not going to do a commercial break, if it's all right with you, yet, in a little bit, just so that we can dig in and kind of go over some of these things that I'd like people to – I want you to – if you're listening to the show, I want you to really, really – don't believe everything you read, but read everything you can find, you know, on there to find. I mean, legally, like there's the Fannie Mae sites and the HUD.gov sites, and there's websites that are official sites that are of the companies and the government and these programs. So you want to read that, but then you want to ask a lot of questions. I mean, I just had a client where I had to say, I need you to talk to some bankruptcy attorneys just for your knowledge. I'm not saying to do this. I want you to be prepared so that you know what all your options are, every which way you're looking at this. Three different attorneys gave her a little bit of different information, so that was a little scary, you know, that,
wow.
You know, you want to make sure that these are the laws, these are the rules, so when somebody gives you this information, you know, can I, if you're talking to the, you know, can I find out where the rule is, where that code is, so that I can look it up and read it myself? Don't ever feel like you're offending somebody. Don't ever feel like you're, you know, you can't ask the questions, because this is your life and your future and your home and your family dealing in this situation, you know. So just mentioning these things, because it's getting much tougher, and I guess it's because, well, the banks, lendings, money, the stuff out there, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of situations where typically the lender's going to definitely want to do a short sale rather than have to do a foreclosure, because the foreclosure is going to cost them more money. But there's some areas where they're even taking back the properties, and instead of selling them, they're renting them out. So different things are happening on their end too, and then remember, the people that are doing the short sales, they just work there, okay? So give them respect and peace, because they're getting bombarded by all kinds of issues. But their job is to make sure that you guys are really providing everything when the borrower or homeowner, and that there's no fraud going on, that everybody's dotting their I's and crossing their T's. So, for example, when they asked for bank accounts, I just had clients that said had gone through on their own. They did try to do loan mod, couldn't do the loan mod. Now we're doing the short sale. Now we have a contract, and we're going in for the process to close. They said, well, I need updated bank statements. I know you gave everything to the lender before, but we have to update everything and keep it in queue, and I'm going to go through the package, and we may need to update again, because they always want the last two stubs, last two bank statements, you know, updated stuff. And they said, well, we didn't give them these two different bank accounts, because there's nothing. One's got like 200 in it, one has 300. You know, we don't use them. They're just sitting there. No, we need to give them everything, because what happens is, if there's interest shown on that, and say it's on your tax return, and they're going to see even a dollar's interest, they're going to want to know, where did that come from, right? Any little, because it can make it look like you're hiding something, and then they start digging in more, and then they want more documentation, and it just takes it longer for the process to go through. You want to be very upfront. Don't forget anything. Put it all in there, you know? And you know, so that's why I'm just bringing it up, because we do have some timelines that are ending at the end of the year if you live in the property now. Wanted to bring that up on our show. So
Wow.
It's not, but it's something that you got to really dig in and protect yourself, right?
It just seems to me, as I listen, you would think, you know, that lenders and government and whoever would be making it easier for folks.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me like, you know, almost like they're making it more difficult.
Well, see, that's what I think. I think they're making it more difficult. And I think you are starting to see more loan mod programs come up where they said they're going to knock off the interest and do things. So I think they are trying to do things to make it better for people. But one of the things that's happening in our world right now, everybody's saying cover their own, you know what, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with the big bank bailouts? Did you see? I mean, it was all over the news. It's all over everybody. The government's blaming the banks, right?
Yeah.
The mortgage companies, banks. I mean, I'm saying, you know, I'm calling it banks, you know, in theory. The mortgage companies blaming that. I mean, the government's blaming them. You've got people blaming buyers and sellers. I can't tell you how many have blamed blame the mortgage loan officer. I didn't know what I was signing. And I'm like, well, you're over 18. You're supposed to read what you sign, right? Aren't you? People. So everybody's blaming everybody, and everybody did blame everybody, and a lot of people got hurt drastically. And it's not just, you know, everybody. And I feel sorry for people that took on loans and they didn't know what they were doing, but I think a lot of people did know what they were doing, and they didn't realize that the markets would change. And you can't buy a $600,000 house if you make $30,000 a year. So when those things happen, that was ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So what's happened is there's such a mess, but then guess what else has happened? The money's not there. So we can't, where do you get the money from? So everything's getting really scrutinized, you know, and to no end. So I think the lenders and the banks, so everybody's saying, okay, well, you guys are going to come after us, we're going to come after you. But I do see situations where it does look like they don't care. I mean, I'm seeing things done now where these changes were made in May that, you know, on second, I mean, where second mortgage companies can just let everybody go to foreclosure. And I think more and more are going to do it if we can't work something else. So hopefully some other things are going to change. But I think you need to, if you're in it and you need to do it now. Because, and then with our election, of course, everything changes after the election, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to dig in on short sales. If you need any help or something, you can always go to our website and realtyuniversal.com and go to the contact us form, and then we can refer you to people too. As far as accountants and attorneys, you need to go to, you know, who you work with or who you're comfortable with. But we can refer you also to brokers or agents that can assist you, and you know, and go for there. On the short sales too, if you're selling your own property, you know, you need to, you know, whatever fixtures are attached to the house, you want to leave it. You know, people tend to feel like they're not making any money. They want to take everything. I mean, I can understand refrigerators and washing machines and things like that. But, so it's a tough place, but I think it can still work out if everybody – but you got to really be careful about this deficiency judgment language being in your approval letter, because I'm seeing more and more come through and they're not even offering it. You go back and you ask for it and then they do it, but I'm seeing them sneak it through. That kind of makes me feel like, wow, it snuck through there. Even if, you know, and of course on HAFA you're guaranteed that they won't have one, but say you're in any of the other programs, it snuck through there. What's to stop them from selling all their paper out and you know, the creditors coming to you 2-3 years later, right? And wanting that money. You've got a fresh start, new house maybe, you've got, you know, whatever, done everything, and the problem didn't go away.
Yeah.
So just be careful.
Be advised.
That's a good, and again, don't feel funny. I think a lot of people say, I didn't want to offend the person. I didn't want to ask another question. I didn't want to, I mean, it's silly. It's your life. You better do it.
This is the time to offend before the contract signed. Absolutely.
So we've got all our contact information, and anybody can go up. We have a few other shows on the archives that go over short sales.
Yes.
And there's lots of sites, you know, the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, HUD.gov. There's lots of other. You can read up on get a general idea of what you need to do, and go from there. Okay. So are we taking a quick break? Oh, we don't a break, and we have our guests coming on, or we rolling
Yeah. Let's take a break. Step away for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back. Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show. Again, email us radio at realtyuniversal.com, the website for way more information, all kinds of stuff, realtyuniversal.com as well. And the number to call if you want to be involved here in the second half hour, James Taudy is with us. He's a motivational speaker. He is a life coach and going to talk to us about change that lasts. You know, how to be that change and how to lead yourself, if you will. That's really a big deal. So we're going to be back with our inspirational portion of the show, if you will, right after this.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps.
A common trait heroes often share is the courage to challenge society's misperceptions. Eric Weinmayer challenged naysayers when he attempted what was said to be impossible: climb Mount Everest blind.
Well, you know, at first when you're blind and you think about Everest, you know, you think, well, maybe I'm just crazy. I want to think this through in a rational way. Maybe there are things that I won't be able to overcome.
When Eric Weinmayer first began to consider the possibility of climbing the world's tallest mountain, he knew he had to carefully consider any overwhelming obstacles.
I'd heard, for instance, like the snow conditions on Everest were such that they're so hard up high that you couldn't stop yourself if you fell. I mean, you couldn't arrest yourself.
Wow. Powerful. That was an excerpt from one of the guys that has climbed Mount Everest, and that was a guy that we featured a while back, Eric, who, quadriplegic, talk about looking for, you know, the stars. Welcome back, Realty Universal Radio. Natalie Monex, president and founder of Realty Universal, with us. In the first half of the show, we talk about, of course, estates, and we've been talking about short sales. And if you have any questions, feel free to email radio@realtyuniversal.com. Or, of course, as she said, you can go on the website, and there's contact places there to contact Realty Universal, and folks will get in touch with you. But more and more people are doing that. Second half of the show, we like to talk about being the change, and not only being the change, but, you know, how do you change your circumstances? And it's often a kind of a not a far leap anymore from the situations that Natalie, you find yourself in with people, you know, clients,
mm-hmm.
and you hear stories all the time, and there are people who are in some pretty, you know, tough scenarios. And so we thought, well, you know what, why don't we link the second half of our show with motivation, encouragement, inspiration, and so people who are tuning in to hear, you know, real estate nuggets can also hang around and really get some life-changing nuggets from great guests. And we've had some amazing guests, including, if you're new to our show, Dr. Wayne Dyer a few weeks ago, where we were doing a live show at a Starbucks in Lahaina, Hawaii, and Dr. Wayne Dyer walks by, and we came on the show for a few minutes. He was very gracious as I kind of grabbed him and asked him to be on. And but, you know, it's funny, Natalie, you know, there's no microphone that I use. The microphone on the MacBook Pro laptop is really good. So basically, when Dr. Dyer, when I ask him to speak to our audience, he's just talking to the laptop.
You know, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And he's like, wow, so I don't know who I'm talking to or where you are, but anyway, that was his deal. Hey, we've got with us James Cowdy on the line from the San Francisco Bay Area, motivational speaker and life coach, and welcome, buddy.
Thank you for having me. Randy and Natalie, thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, talk to us for a minute. Just let's let our audience kind of get acquainted with you a little bit. You're a motivational speaker and a life coach. Share a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are and what you're doing. And then I've got some questions for you a little later.
Absolutely. Thanks, Randy. As you mentioned, my name is James Cowdy, and I'm currently a coach, teacher, and speaker for the John Maxwell team. And my journey through sales and sales development and leadership and personal development led me to join John's coaching team. I mean, I've been an avid learner and developing my own self for the last 10 years, as well as developing my sales skills and my leadership skills. And some of the best books that I've read were some of John's teachings and developing the leader within you. And that's what led me to join the coaching team. It's something I just felt compelled and inspired to do. And I truly believe my passion and or my purpose in life is to make a positive difference in the lives of other people. And what better place to do it than speaking, coaching, and teaching and leading?
Mm. Absolutely. And so you work with businesses and individuals? Is it kind of both and?
That's correct.
And so what? Say if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know what, I need a life coach. I need help. What's the process and how do you help them?
Oh, that's actually a great question. What I found is generally a discussion with that individual about what they're up to in their life or what maybe they're having challenges with, and asking key questions, but being a really good listener, I think, is important so that you can hear, you know, flags that come up or specific things that I can relate to from my own past experiences. You know, one thing I believe is that we're all on a path. We've all experienced glorious wins and humiliating defeats, and we all have something we can learn from each other. But, you know, by listening closely, you can identify things that you've experienced or those of you in your life that you know that maybe experienced something similar, and you can kind of start from there. But one thing I've noticed is that if I speak to my own personal experience and, you know, how I've developed and how I've been able to grow and how I've been able to have, you know, change that's lasted for me, that's a good place to start because it's something I have experience in. It's kind of like I've been there, I've done that. I understand where you're at and where you're coming from because I've been there too, and this is what I did about it.
I looking on your Facebook page and seeing, you know, that you're a God guy, as am I, and Natalie, of course, we're both believers, and this to me is fascinating, and I've been kind of struggling, you know, and I'm 35 years old, been in pastoral ministry and in radio and leadership and management and all kinds of stuff over the years, and so I've been through kind of the positive thinking stuff where you immerse yourself in positivity. It's all about mindset. It's all about, you know, changing, you know, the way you think. And I believe all of that. But then there's this other side of, oh, yeah. I mean, typically folks who are Christians, if you will, followers of God, there is a component where you're supposed to be open to God's will and let him lead, let him guide. And so sometimes leading and guiding involves waiting as opposed to being proactive and, you know, making stuff happen. And I don't know if that's something you've wrestled with being a salesperson who's a Christian, but I thought about that often. Scott Fay, who's one of the professors or teachers, if you will, facilitator of the Maxwell team, he has this little thought of the day thing that I subscribe to, and it came out today, and it says, "The thing always happens that you really believe in, and the belief in a thing makes it happen." You know, and that's super inspirational, and I believe that. And yet, there are times when you can believe in a thing, think it's what's supposed to be happening, quote unquote, God's will, and it does not happen. So is there a point where you kind of believe in something and work at something as if you're feet ahead, and then kind of let God sort it out? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I, too, have experienced kind of the struggle between what my will is and what God's will is for me. And one of the things that helped me in every area, you know, I believe that our outer world is a reflection of our inner world. You know, we are the root, and our results are the fruit. So if there's some things in your life that you want to change, you're going to have to change some things in your life. And I believe, you know, there's only two things for me that I have complete control over. That's my attitude and my thoughts. And I spent a lot of time trying to control things that I have no control over. And I found that when I turn those things over to God, and I trust God to handle all of these things there's certain people and there's certain circumstances and things that I can't change. But what I can change is my attitude and my outlook in regards to what's going on around me. And that's where I started. And I truly believe that of all the attitudes that we can acquire, the attitude of gratitude is the most important and by far the most life-changing. And what I specifically did was every morning before I got caught up in my hectic day and before I turned on the phone and the laptop and opened up any newspapers, I pulled out a piece of paper and I created what's called a gratitude list. And I started writing down 2, 3, 4, 5 things that I was grateful for. And in the beginning, I had to think about it, and I had to put effort into it to discover things that I was grateful for. But by creating a discipline of doing this every morning, over a period of time, it became a habit. And that gratitude list grew, and it got bigger and bigger. And some that may be listening might be thinking, well, that's a big list. That's great, because that's your life. And as that list got bigger, my life became more valuable, and essentially my net worth increased, not in a monetary sense, but the more that I was grateful for the things that I had, the more I discovered that I could be grateful for. And I believe that in order to effectively communicate to others, to be of service to others in any way, shape, or form, whether it be of service of time, energy, resources, money, it's really hard to be generous if you're not grateful for the things that you have.
Mm.
So by being grateful and acquiring an attitude of, not only acquiring, but maintaining an attitude of gratitude, my life changed, because I believe a lot of it's perception. And where I still rely on God is the things that I can't control. I have a choice on what my attitude is going to be today. And I have a choice on what thoughts I let control my mind. And I think that there's plenty of stuff on in my life and out there that God can still control, and that he'll have his hands full with me. But the for me to focus my energy and my time on the areas that I do have some control over, that's my attitude and my thoughts. And that's where, you know, I do believe that positive thinking is key, and I do believe that a positive attitude can only help you succeed. It's not going to guarantee your success, but a negative attitude will pretty much guarantee your failure.
That's a good point, very good points. And I believe what's going on the inside reflects your outside, right? And what you said, it makes so much sense. It really does. You know, Randy and I have been talking about working on something we're calling, well, it's time to heal, because there's so many people walking around as adults that are wounded, and if we don't work on our wounds that we're carrying around in the baggage, then sometimes things keep popping up and popping up and popping up, you know, until we can get to the source of the problem or the source of the issue. And so it's really interesting, you're right, because what's on the inside does come out of the outside, and the gratitude is so wonderful, too, because we've got so much to be thankful for every day and in our life already. And I believe, how can God give us more? And I don't mean it by as material things, but how can God give us more joy and peace in our life if we're not thankful for what we already have, right? It's kind of interesting. And that control thing is really difficult, too, I think, for a lot of people that have been through things that they need to work through, because people, you know, tend to want to control things that are out of their control. But it's more of a comfort level, you know. So all their points are so amazing. It's really, when you're doing the coaching with people, do you start off with coaching them business-wise, personal, or mix it in together, or how do you do it?
It definitely, that's a good question. It depends on the individual and maybe what their intended result is. But I have found that, we'll say, over the last 6 months, almost every opportunity to sit down with someone one-on-one, and if it's one-on-one, it's a lot easier to kind of dive into some more personal situations or to talk more about what's going on inside than, you know, in a group setting.
Uh-huh.
I found that my one-on-one coaching has all started out with the inside, and I believe that's because in order to build anything, you need a firm foundation. And, you know, I could teach you how to make a lot of sales and make a lot of money, and I could teach you how to do certain things or to, you know, recruit or whatever it is that your business is looking for, increase productivity. But if the person doesn't change, it's really, you're setting them up for failure and maybe even possibly disaster.
Mm. Mm.
That's a good point. It's true, because, right, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So we're working on that with so many issues to work out, because everyone walks up, no one knows everything. Nobody's going to have all the answers. No one's going to have all the, you know, no, we're all so different in our own ways, right? But God knows. God knows the big picture. And I think it's amazing using the proper tools with motivation and techniques and gratitude and believing it, and then really cleansing ourselves is a big start to everything. I see what you're saying. You can kind of look at that. If they don't work on all the other issues, you've seen it over and over in years where people become, you know, stars, or, and I'm just giving examples because it doesn't, they become stars, or they go and they acquire so much, and then doomsday comes, right? Because they can't handle it, and it's not what they thought maybe they would be fulfilled, and they find out they're not dealing from their heart, so they're not fulfilled anyhow, right? In God's world. So that's interesting. It's really neat. I think it's a journey, an individual journey for each one of us too, right? For us to all be who God put us to be, put us here to be, not what someone else thinks we should be. And you know, do you find that John? Do you find that James? I apologize. We're going through another. Do you find that James that in coaching and working with the people, you find out maybe they're totally in the wrong career or they're in the right career, but they just need the tools to learn how to go make the sales? Or do you find that it's all over the border, that most people pretty much know what they want, even if they're not doing what they want? I asked a couple questions there. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with I think the first one. But I found that sometimes what I've noticed is that people tend to get stuck in the story and get stuck in the past, things that happened and circumstances that came up and the reason, or they're looking back and basing that off of kind of why they are where they are or why they're struggling to get to where they want to go. And a lot of it is just coming to terms that they're exactly where they're supposed to be at the time they're supposed to be there.
And wow, that's big.
By just kind of taking it in, and I found, too, that that's where it's good to kind of start with the inner self. It's an inside-out job, that if we can learn to be grateful for the things that we have and to appreciate the ability and the skills and the talents and the gifts that God gave us, we have inside of us everything that we need to get to any place or anywhere we want. I don't believe that God would give us the ability to think of a goal or to write down or visualize something that we want, but not give us the ability to achieve it. So a lot of times it's just getting over these hurdles or these barriers that are holding us back, and that generally comes from your past. And
yes.
You can't do anything about the past. You know, so we start from today and, okay, this is where we're at right now, and this is where you want to go. So let's work on getting you from here, from point A to point B. And a lot of it is just belief. You know, I think that even in my life, you know, from my upbringing and from experiences that I had in my life, I wasn't always grateful and positive and motivated. And I changed because I was in enough pain that I needed to change. You know, and I think that's where change sometimes comes in. Either someone's in enough pain that they're willing to make a change, or they learn enough about something that they want to change, or you offer them tools and disciplines that they can create change. So,
right.
You know, Napoleon Hill says that, you know, desire is the starting point for all achievement. So until you really want it, you know, we could talk about it, we could read about it, we can discuss it, but unless you really want change, it starts with desire first.
Right. That's wonderful.
So
I love it. And it's true. And the desire
answer
probably comes from our heart, and that's what God gave us. God knew when we were born gave us certain gifts, I think. You know, you hear the story constantly where people have family businesses and then the family kind of pushes the kids into the business and then they really hated the business, you know. Or there's situations where people love the business, but it's not, you know, it's just interesting, you know. And I've seen situations where you're listening to your heart and people do businesses or do get into certain careers and they find out later they did like it. They just, you know, I think it's wonderful to really realize that we can have and be and do what we want to be doing in life, but that what we're doing isn't really who we are 100%. It's not, we tend to label ourselves by what we do, right? And I think that's not really good for people either. I mean, overall, you know?
Mm.
And I think
it's pretty
amazing because we're, you know, when people realize what we can do, and it starts with visualization and doing things, but like Randy mentioned earlier, you know, you can say, okay, this works, and then sometimes you're thinking and then it doesn't work, and sometimes it's because it's not supposed to work, and other times it's because of what we do have inside that we're sabotaging ourselves. So it's pretty neat. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing that what God gave us all is free, and unfortunately we have to deal with so much money in the world in order to have the freedom sometimes, right, you know, and different things.
Yeah.
But what we were already given as gifts is just totally free, absolutely free. It's just amazing. And
Well, I think, too, that, you know, and I still, too, at times struggle with what is my will and what is God's will for me. And I do believe that God gave me talents and gifts and powers to go out and to achieve and to do what I want to do. I don't think that he wants me to sit around on a bench staring at the sky just waiting for him to come and provide things for me. He wants me to get up and go out and be of service and to do things. And part of that was to discover my purpose or my passion. And I have a true passion to help other people. So if what I'm doing is legal, it's moral, and it's ethical, and I'm putting my right foot forward, and I wake up every day with the intention of adding value to someone else's life, and I have the opportunity to be generous because I'm grateful for what I have, then I'm starting on the right, in the right place. And something I do to ensure that I start from the right place every morning is I get down on my knees and I pray and I thank God for the things that I do have and for the ability to go through the day and to focus on what He wants, to put my time, energy, and resources on where they would best serve Him. And by doing that, every morning I have kind of like a re-surrender, because things do come up and sometimes you have to be in action and be powerful to achieve certain things. And that's where I kind of get torn back and forth between, you know, am I in control or is God in control? And focusing on just things
I do. I pray them. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So,
because it's amazing. I love it.
And what's great, too, and I make this clear to everyone that I work with, this too, is that I'm on the path, too. You know, there's no award on my wall or a trophy on my desk that says I have arrived. I'm on
exactly.
the path, too. And, you know, I don't strive. Yeah, I strive every day to do better and to reach my potential and to make a positive difference. And every day that I do that, I have a good day.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I like what you said about not having arrived. I don't think we ever arrive. It's definitely a journey. And what's good for one person is good for different for another, you know. And it's amazing. Life's such a gift. And so people want to contact you. How do they contact you, James?
Right now they could contact me on my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/JamesTowdy. That's JamesTowdy. That's an easy spot to get me. I know everyone's on social media, or you can reach me at James Towdy on Twitter.
Okay. Great.
Oh, I think I'm following you now.
And then you got is there a website to if they want to sign up and start one of your coaching programs or?
That's actually in creation right now. That's a great question.
Oh, okay.
I wish it was completed, but maybe the next time if you ever invite me back, I'll be able to come on and give you that.
Oh, cool! Absolutely, absolutely.
It's being created now.
You know, James, just we got a couple minutes, and I just wanted to put a bow on this. I love what you just said about, you know, a lot of what you said, again, answered the question I asked at the very beginning, and you just answered it in another way. The idea of, you know, of what your intention is, and if you step out with the right and correct, you know, intention, which is to add value to people's lives, to bless others, and there's a desire to do God's will, he'll lead us in all of those. You know, he absolutely will. And it's about who we are and who we're becoming, not what we're doing, you know. And I think in our society, and I know, Natalie, in the real estate industry, you've been in sales. I've been in radio, you know, sales all my life. There's this, you know, quota. There's this performance thing that we're all kind of geared toward in our work and in our lives, right? How are we performing? What are we doing? And our ego, and this is something Wayne Dyer says, you know, our ego says we are what we do, what we drive, how much money we have, and we're really none of those things. You know, we really are not. Those are the ego kind of aspects of who we are. Who we really are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and how can, in your words, add value to people every day. I love the way you frame that it's about what you're becoming, what your intentions are every day. The doing part will take care of itself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I love that.
It's wonderful. It's such an experience. Though. And then sometimes things can happen that just throw you down, and then you got to get back up. You know, it's just really, life's definitely a journey.
Yeah.
And the only thing I like to say, though, is it's not a dress rehearsal, so we've got to get in there and get focused and have fun and love it and really not take it for granted, right? Not at all. I love the gratitude. I think it's funny what you were talking about, James. I do the same thing in the morning. I do my prayers on my knees and ask God to show me how to serve and what he wants me to do. And, you know, the Psalm 23 and Our Father. And just, like, show me. Please show me and guide me, you know, and give me the strength. And it's amazing. It's amazing when we can turn things over, because it's hard to turn things over when you're used to running so many things, you know. It's really hard. Mm. So Sometimes it is. It's really because we think, oh, we can, especially if you're, you know, when you're doing sales and you're good at what you do and you do other things and people come to you for things, it's all, it's easy to start thinking, well, I can fix this too or fix this or do this or do this. And it's just, I think we all, what we all have to know is we're all miracles. Every one of us is a miracle and in our own right, right? I'm not supposed to be like you. You're not supposed to be like me. We're all supposed to be our own self and, but serve and be happy too.
No. Yeah, and I think there's a great point to that, and this isn't to promote myself, but however, I think it's important on to have a network of people around you that you know and trust that'll support you, and whether that be in your community, in your church, in your personal life, your family, coaches, mentors, books and CDs, we need to surround ourselves with the right people and the right information to stay active and to stay growing, and it's important. You're not alone, and it's challenging if you try and go this path alone.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Exactly.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man.
Gosh, thanks for coming on. You're wonderful. And let us know what, like, what the, if they're, well, we have your contact information. A lot of people do listen to archives, but when you have the other information, that if you could send it to Randy or myself, that would be great, so that we can actually pass your information along too, because we know everybody needs it. And you said you're right outside of the Bay Area?
That's correct.
Great, okay. I have different clients out there, and I have a cousin that lives right out in San Francisco. It's
nice.
That beautiful area. Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
Mike.
I just want to make sure that I let you know that I'm grateful, and I appreciate you asking me to speak today, and
thank you
for all that you're doing.
Bless
thank
you.
You.
Take care.
So,
all right, buddy. All right, so James Towdy, again, just I'll tell you, another amazing guy who really had a great answer. Great answer for me. We've got literally 1 minute, so we need to wrap this up. And that
wow, okay. That went by pretty fast today, huh?
Blue
so,
by.
Good. Blue. And I'll talk to you. And, yeah, we'll go ahead and I love the second half, too. The first half was, I love the second half, going over all that and then getting through day-to-day and working through the spiritual part of it. And life really is good. Life's really good. And it really is a lot of what we make of it, you know?
Yeah.
And trusting God. So with all that, I would like to just put out there and tell everybody I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.